Anchorite by Randall Garrett. Part 1. There are two basic kinds of fools: the ones who know they are fools, and the kind that, because they do not know that, are utterly deadly menaces. The Anchorite, Part 1. The mountain was spinning. Not dizzily, not even rapidly, but very perceptibly, the great mass of jagged rock was turning on its axis. Captain St. Simon scowled at it. "By damn, Jules," he said, "if you can see 'em spinning, it's too damn fast." He expected no answer, and got none. He tapped the drive pedal gently with his right foot, his gaze shifting alternately from the instrument board to the looming hulk of stone before him. As the little spacecraft moved in closer, he tapped the reverse pedal with his left foot. He was now 10 meters from the surface of the asteroid. It was moving all right. "Well, Jules," he said in his most commanding voice, "we'll just see how fast she's moving. Prepare to fire torpedo number 1.
"Yassir, boss, yassir, Captain St. Simon, sir, already on the firing line."
He touched a button with his right thumb. The ship quivered almost imperceptibly as a jet of liquid leaped from the gun mounted in the nose of the ship. At the same time, he hit the reverse pedal and backed the ship away from the asteroid's surface. No point getting any more gunk on the hull than necessary. The jet of liquid struck the surface of the rotating mountain and splashed, leaving a big splotch of silvery glitter. Even in the vacuum of space, the silicone-based solvents of the paint vehicle took time to boil off.
"How's that for pinpoint accuracy, Jules?"
"Very good, my lord. Top hole, if I may say so, my lord."
"You may."
He jockeyed the little spacecraft around until he was reasonably stationary with respect to the great hunk of whirling rock, and had the silver-white blotch centered on the crosshairs of the peeper in front of him. Then he punched the button that started the timer and waited for the silver spot to come round again. The asteroid was roughly spherical, which was unusual but not remarkable. The radar gave him the distance from the surface of the asteroid, and he measured the diameter and punched it through the calculator.
"Observe," he said in a dry, didactic voice, "the diameter is on the order of 5 × 10^14 micromicrons."
He kept punching at the calculator.
"If we assume a mean density of 2.66 × 10^-36 metric tons per cubic micromicron, we attain a mean mass of some 1.74 × 10^11 kilograms."
More punching, while he kept his eye on the meteorite, watching for the spot to show up again.
"And that, my dear Jules, gives us a surface gravity of approximately 2 × 10^-6 standard G's."
"Jawohl, Herr Oberstleutnant. And so, mein dear Jules, we have at least the grave suspicion that the surface gravity is less than the centrifugal force at the equator. Nein? Ja, so."
"Jawohl, Herr Konzertmeister."
Then there was a long, silent wait, while the asteroid went its leisurely way around its own axis.
"There it comes," said Captain St. Simon.
He kept his eyes on the crosshair of the peeper, one hand over the timer button. When the silver splotch drifted by the crosshair, he punched the stop button and looked at the indicator.
16:40. How handy!" He punched at the calculator again. "Ah, you see, Jules, just as we suspected. Negative G's at the surface, on the equator, comes to 10^-3 standard G's, almost exactly 1 cm/s². So?"
"Ah, so, honorable captain, is something like 500 times as great as gravitational attraction, is not so?"
"Sukiyaki, my dear chap, sometimes you're brilliant."